Do you speak giant language?
Yeah.
Tobar, you see a half-elven man get up and start to walk out. Or has, I feel like you've seen that guy before. You realize that this is a man that looks very similar to Basil Oud. And intensely focused on the paper in front of her is a fairly slender, red-haired half-elf in studded leather armor. I'm Athril. Before we lost contact with our research outpost and men, we heard word that there was something coming our way, but they weren't able to tell us what.
We bit off more than we could chew.
Yeah, kind of chuckles. You're a strange one, small one.
So keep me in the back of your mind.
Oh, don't worry about that.
A human man, a bald human man in goldish armor, step out with a thin mustache. And you immediately recognize the man as Zorander Rex. And it appears that the Mistcallers have come to Dreigold. Welcome back to the Magic Missile. To recap where we left off in our Ursulinia campaign, the Chainbreakers had just reached the small town of Dreigulch. It's a midway point between Ravenbell and the Cindercrest Mountains, where Loed had received a task to return an axe to a small village known as Brashev. On the way to Dreigulch, the party encountered a few roadblocks from a woman who had fallen into a river to several Valor Guard that they had previously encountered on their travels. And once you reached Dreigulch, you explored the small town basically to the extent that it could be explored. You met a giant in the butcher shop and found that Loed is very fluent in giant and made quick friends with the butcher. You made your way to the local tavern where Jean made friends-ish with a recently distraught woman whose husband had apparently repeatedly cheated on her with. And you kind of settled into this small town. And as you settled in, Vor noticed a familiar-looking elven man leaving the tavern. Not quite sure where he saw him before. He followed them. He followed this elven man through the small town to a small cottage where he mentioned that through some magical means of messaging, he mentioned that the city, the town of Dreigulch was ready and that they would be awaiting next steps. As you settled down for the night, Jean found a mysterious note left in his pocket that seemed to come from somebody named A.V. They mentioned that they wanted to meet above the Engraved Arrow, the local the local general store and blacksmith. And as you found your way to the Engraved Arrow, Jean spent a lot of time looking for a back door. You made your way upstairs. You met a rogue by the name of Athril. You convince Athril to come with you to find the elven man, Basil Oud, who had hidden in the cottage kind of across the way from the Engraved Arrow. As you made your way into the market square, there was a group of about a dozen or so villagers with a covered wagon. The villagers seemed very excited about what the occupants of the wagon, and as the occupants stepped out, you recognized them immediately. You noticed that the group known as the Mistcallers had made their way to Dreigulch, and they were being welcomed quite warmly by the villagers here. And that is where we left off. So as you kind of step forward, John and Lode take a few steps forward and are a little bit closer than the rest of the party based off of how things ended at the last session. But you see Zorander Rex in his large kind of golden armor stepping out of this covered wagon, followed by a half Goliath man who, very much like Lode, is very, very intimidating looking, very large. And you see a elven woman in kind of plainish clothing with a branch crown essentially around her head, and she steps out with a staff. And you see Zorander Rex kind of raise a hand, and the crowd kind of silence. We've returned, and we have good news. Those beasts will not be harming you anymore. And the crowd kind of cheers, and everyone seems elated by the news. And Zorander, kind of on the edge of this wagon, looks over and sees Jean and Lode. How are you guys reacting?
I guess I'll turn to Lode, and I'm with Var as well, Var and Lode.
Right now, at the end of last session, you just mentioned that you and Lode had stepped forward. Var was still kind of back a little bit with the rest of the group. Okay.
I'm going to tell Lode, go find the group and prepare for attack. I mean, that's the best thing that we can do. And then I'll walk up to Zorander Rex.
Okay. He looks over, and you can see he recognizes you. He kind of gives you a little nod, but doesn't seem really that phased, and continue kind of basking in the glory of the return.
I guess I nod back, and I greet him.
Small one, I see you've made your way out east. What brings you out this far?
Work. How about you?
Protection, mostly. This town needed some muscle, and we're here to provide it.
That's good of you. A bit different than the work you were doing before, I see.
Work? You mean the transporting of goods between towns? I see nothing wrong with this.
I didn't say there was anything wrong with this.
You mentioned that it's different. I fail to see how this is something to remark about.
We both know what you were transporting.
He kind of looks down at you and gives you a stern look, just like you best watch yourself kind of look.
I said, my friend who left, the tall one, he doesn't like you, but no hard feelings here. And I reach out to shake his hand.
He quickly kind of softens and does a predator handshake, just grabs the forearm.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I laugh.
I'm a little guy.
I try not to fall down when he does that. And I say, well, you're going to introduce me to the group. I know we briefly met prior on different terms.
Oh.
Just trying to get
where up. Are my manners? Ornar. And the Goliath kind of walks over. This is Ornar Malutir, best fighter I've ever met. Strongest man I've ever come across. And hell of a good drinker, if you don't mind me saying. And Ornar kind of like sheepishly nods off. And the elven, half-elven lady is still kind of over by the side of the cart. She's pulling kind of boxes and crates off of the cart. Looks like supplies for being out and camping for at least a week or two. And she pulls them off and still hasn't really paid much attention to you. Zorander kind of motions over to her. That over there is Caprea. She's a little cold, but she's good in a pinch. And Caprea just kind of looks over, nods, and continues working. What about you? I seem to remember a whole host of other folks you traveled with. They not live up to the task and get killed off like we kind of expected.
Yeah, most of them went went their separate ways, and I'm eating M&Ms and the shell cracked and went to the back of my throat. I'm so sorry. I'm okay, guys. Don't worry.
It's okay. I'm just a little choked up.
Yeah. Woo. I almost did a little bit. Most of them went their separate ways. Me and the big one stuck around, still doing some adventuring work here and there.
That's a shame. You lot could have made a name for yourselves.
Maybe. You lot have made a name for yourselves.
We get by. Yeah.
At this point, have we? Where were we when the conversation started?
Yeah, I imagine there's a whole other conversation with the group happening. If at any point you want to just cut to them, that's totally fine.
Because Steve just told us, or Lode told us, to prepare for battle. I'm not sure we would have taken that as don't come within Zoranda Rex's eye line.
Yeah, we could jump over to Lode. I would imagine that about halfway through those introductions, you lot would have probably made your way out. In fact, let's rewind a little bit before that. Lode, how do you approach the party? What do you come out them with?
Guys, Tyrannosaurus Rex is here, and John says we need to be ready for a battle.
We're fighting a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
The guy.
What?
Something Rex. I just assumed his name is Tyrannosaurus.
John's gonna die.
With war. Is it a dragon? Is it like a Tyrannosaurus Rex with wings?
No.
All right.
It's a guy named Rex?
Yeah.
Like Zoranda Rex?
Yeah, that's it.
What was that, Tyler?
This is why the conversation was able to play out as long as it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what's he doing here? Did he attack John?
No. I mean, we're able to see him.
I mean, not yet. Anyway,
can we see him? Are we in an eye line, or like? Yeah. Where, I guess where
we're
are we?
We're just in the shadows, off to the side.
Oh.
Does John need our help?
I mean, he's saying prepare for battle, so...
That's all he told me was prepare for battle. Can I cast a message to John?
You can.
I'm gonna do that. John, do you need us there right now?
John will work it into the conversation super well and just say, you bet. God, I'm trying to think what John would say. He would say, I guess, you bet, strike when you're ready, and he'll just find a really great way to work that into the conversation.
Guys, I have no idea what he's telling me.
What did he specifically say?
He said, strike true, or something like that.
All right, I think we gotta probably head out there.
I mean, are they in a fight? Because we got our asses kicked last time. It'd be a good thing to avoid a fight if possible. I don't want to get maced by that guy.
Yeah, maybe one of us or two of us stay hidden.
Okay, I'll stay hidden.
Not you, Lode.
I'm going to stay in the shadows.
I'll stay back here with Matt's character, and Right here, you should go on with Lode.
Okay.
Not Balkus. I was going to say Balkus. That was the problem.
I think someone was going to be hidden. All right.
Bam, bear form.
All right, well, John, let's go.
Can't hear you, Ty.
Oh, we can't hear you.
Yeah, move that mic or something.
It works so well for everything else. Let me...
Yeah, well...
All right, so you guys are preparing for battle.
Yes.
I mean, I've always got everything that I need to fight on me. I'm pretty, like, unburdened, typically. So, like... I'm just walking up like normal.
The only thing I want to do is move to the other side, so I am behind Mr. Wreck.
We have Rhaefir, Vor, and Tobar coming in and load from behind. Jean is up talking with Zurander. And this was the best token I could find. In other words, it is a default token that does not represent what he looks like.
Nice.
So, the four of you that have joined the conversation late...
War also stayed back.
War stayed back, okay.
War was also staying hiding.
Yeah, so it's just me and Lode coming up, right?
Yeah.
Alright, so let's do that there. Get some room to work. Does that look good to everybody?
Yeah.
Sure does.
Cool. And so you guys kind of walk out. The snow has picked up quite a bit as the night has started to take place. The snow's really starting to come down, and you see this wagon kind of in the center of this small square, and the three kind of mist callers are standing around. The crowds of people are starting to disperse as the excitement of the three returning adventurers is kind of dying off. And Jean is still up talking to Zurander. What do you guys do?
I'm going to be walking. Good question.
Okay. One more time?
Depending on how.
Well, can I take a short rest? Waiting, can I be taking a short rest?
It has not been an hour. Or a half hour. It's been just a few minutes.
Like, I guess so. If it ends up being half an hour while I'm waiting.
Yeah, I would say between the time you left the cottage when you saw Basil and the time that you spent with Athril atop the blacksmith and all of that, that's plenty of time for a short rest.
Okay, so I can... Okay. Sounds good.
Question for you, Ty. If I was supposedly going to put a hunter's mark on something or someone, would they be knowing that they have a hunter's mark on them?
Yeah, it's a big arrow, man.
Nice. I imagine it's a spell, so they would know. I feel like it would say otherwise in the spell.
They would remain unaware.
Oh, cool. Okay. I want to cast Hunter's Mark on Mr. Rex.
Okay. Mark. Yes, Hunter's Mark. Cool.
While we're walking, I was going to tell Lode while we're walking, like, all right, Lode, let's only fight if we have to. Just be ready, but don't fight if we don't have to. Can't think of how else to say that.
If fight, win.
Yeah, if we fight, win. I'm trying to think of, like, I was like gonna use like strategic language. I remembered I was talking to Lode. I was like, just, oh shit. Let's walk. And so I guess we're walking forward.
Yeah, I mean, I don't intend to lose.
Zorander goes back and continues unloading the cart. He lifts up a few kind of bedrolls and tosses them to Ornar, and Capraeus starts moving the stuff that she had already unloaded, and starts to kind of walk away with a crate. What do you guys do?
Do you want John to go?
Anybody.
Okay.
I'm just waiting on a cue.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, hey, let me give you a hand with that, and I start helping them unload stuff. How heavy are these crates?
The crates are roughly about 50 or 60 pounds. Like, they have some heft to them, but they're not unmanageable.
Okay. I guess I try to heave one up, and maybe I'll even say, like, wow, what do you have in these things? So I guess I'm in the thing now. I'm trying to keep it down.
A small person that only weighs about 50 or 60 pounds. This is a lot for you.
Yeah, I weigh 42 pounds. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not trying to, like, show off my strength. I guess I'm just trying to lift it a little, and then if I can't lift it, it's fine. But I would just say, wow, what's in these things?
Am I able to run over when I see John struggling?
Yeah, Zorander kind of looks over. Supplies. And, Lode, you make your way over?
I take the box from John.
Okay, yeah, you lift it up. It's a 50 or 60 or 40 to 50 pounds. It's not terribly hard for you to lift.
Hey, Lode, I thought you went back to the tavern.
I did.
Oh. Okay. Did you come to get me because the weather was getting bad?
No. I look like you were having trouble with the box.
I was. Lode, I want you to meet Zorander Rex, and I'm just going to start introducing folks here.
Zorander looks over. We've met. I remember this big fella.
Nice to meet you, Zoolander.
Yeah, this is actually more for him than for you. I'm so sorry. He's awful with names.
I am not, Jim.
What? See what I mean?
As the cart is continually more and more empty, you get the last couple boxes, and there's a few kind of large skins and what looks to be things that were collected while they were kind of hunting out for the last 2 weeks. Kind of some normal forest animal hides, couple piles of dried meats, that sort of thing.
I just slowly basically just like step my way over to them, like while they're have just like approach at a slower rate than Lode, but sort of like genially like blend into the group here.
Sure.
Can I say that I'm doing a perception check, because I'm looking out for if anybody really aside from Lode was coming. Can I do a perception check to see if I see Rhyfear?
Yeah. Go ahead and roll a perception.
Okay.
And Rhyfear's walking.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I mean, my passive perception is 13. I don't know if that technically counts. But if I were to see Rhyfear, like, and I know that they're kind of on the outskirts here, and I'm kind of keeping my eye out, but if I were to see Rhyfear, I'd want to cast Message and say, stay back and get the surprise. But, like, do it while I'm bent over and, like, trying to play with some boxes and hides and stuff like that. And try
stay
to
back and get the surprise?
Mm-hmm. That's what I would say to Rhyfear.
Let's do a sleight of hand check. It's really a sleight of mouth check, but we'll do sleight of hand.
Okay. 18. Okay,
yeah.
Hell of a roll.
That's able to pass. Zorander, while you say that, Zorander had his back, and he's kind of walking over to Ornar to drop off another crate.
Okay, I'm going to get the message, and I'm going to respond to... What surprise? Is there a surprise? Are we fighting? Doesn't look like we're fighting.
I don't know if I can do another one of those. I guess I'm not going to reply in fear of, I guess, getting caught or something.
Okay.
So that's all I'm going to say to Rhyfear.
All right. Vor and Tor, what are you guys doing?
Just waiting for a cue.
Yeah, Bard's gonna cast mage armor on him.
Okay.
And other than that, I think he's just gonna wait. He's gonna try and stay within 5 feet of Tobar, though, if he can.
That sounds good.
Jean is
on me.
Jean is gonna pull out a minor illusion, and he's going to make it look like it came out of his pocket, and it's gonna be like a little MacGuffin kind of gem thing or something like that. And I'm gonna say, "Hey, Lode, come over here."
I absolutely do that.
And I'm going to say, "Take this back to the tavern." And I'm just going to set this illusion basically in his hand. Like, I'm going to just kind of illusion it into his hand. There's going to be no weight to it, but I'm going to tell Lode to take it back to the tavern.
Okay.
All right. Just make sure Lode's not smart enough to figure out something's up.
I think you can roll against me if you want. Minor illusion is, I think it was an intelligence check? Investigation check? You'd have to beat a DC 15. Oh no, I guess that would be my...
Nope, that's a real freaking gem to him.
Doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
Yeah, you think it's real. You think I just...
You went to the mines of Moria, he remembers digging it up.
Yep. You know what, I make it look like the rock that you need to give to Voir. but I hand it to you, and I tell you to go back to the tavern, and I guess I'm going to wait just enough space for Lode to get out of range, and then I'm going to bring Zurander in, and I'm going to say, "Hey, so I'm sure you found some pretty cool stuff on your travels. I found this this rapier. It's old, and it's one of those, you know, old legendary swords. You want to take a look?"
Why?
I mean, it's a silvered blade, you know, made from the White Duke himself. I would think that, you know, of course it's more interesting for me, but I think that you'd want to see. Do you have any treasures on you?
Roll a persuasion check.
All right. Come on, baby, don't fail me. Oh, no.
Zurander kind of looks at you, grunts, and kind of continues picking up some of the crates and moving them aside.
God damn it. Okay, and then I guess I will say, "Well, what about this loot that I found?" I said, "A lost loot, lost in time? Like, is that an interest of you?" At this point, I'm almost just trying to do a dick measuring contest to see if I can get his attention.
"Look, small fry, I appreciate your excitement. I've come across many legendary things in my travel. I'm good."
All right. I kind of backed down and I put it away. You know, I was kind of getting ready to pull the loot out, and I kind of put it away. I said, "Okay. I guess that's everything." Thinking that we cleared out the wagon. You guys have a good rest of your night. I'm gonna head back to the tavern.
You see, Ornar kind of like nods in your direction. They kind of go back off to your their business. They all now are kind of with their backs turned, like looking at the boxes and starting to like figure out where they should take all that stuff.
Are any of the boxes like open or anything? Could I do a perception check to see if I could see anything inside, or are they completely closed up and no point? What was that?
Roll a perception check.
Oh, okay.
No. With your time in the wagon, most of the boxes, and in fact all the boxes that you saw and that you came across were sealed. You were more focused on trying to get Zurander's attention and like goad him into something. that you weren't paying too much attention to the boxes.
Got it. Okay. I guess Jean kind of pretends to head back to the tavern kind of actually heads towards Rhaefir.
Okay. I'm going to move Rhaefir back a little bit because being within 10 feet doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Sure. Like, here?
Yeah, that makes more sense if he's like kind of like around a corner.
Yeah. So, Sean kind of heads back now with Rhaefir. What's the plan? They're kind of sitting, kind of divvying up. All right, this box is going to go over here. This box is going to head to that place. These supplies are going to head back over here. They seem pretty occupied.
I guess I'm going to regroup with the guys and say, I guess they're helping the village out. Like, they went out, they either got supplies or something for the village, and the villagers seem to be happy with them. And I just tell them the situation.
Can we go investigate that house then, finally? Or
I guess that's the next place we go. I mean,
yeah, best.
I mean, here we are. We're expecting an oncoming
attack. What was that?
What?
And now these guys walk into town at the same time.
Oh. Everyone make a perception check.
Right. Oh no.
Do you want me to forego it because I already rolled like shit?
Roll another one.
Okay. Oh!
There we go.
Nice.
I saw everything.
My roll 20 is still doing that thing where it's like not synced up.
One turn.
Yeah, I've still got the thing going on where I can't like roll for some reason.
Huh. That's gonna be a problem. We should really fix that.
Yeah. You need to try to like unenroll and uninstall and reinstall the extension.
Uninstall and reinstall the extension itself.
Yeah, the Beyond 20 extension. See if that helps.
Cool.
It's a little red die up in the top left, or top right.
That process. Sean, as you're walking away, it's not that you see something, it's what you hear. And in the pile of goods, you hear a scuffling. I think it's the best way to describe it. Something that sounds like scratching on wood. Perhaps something inside one of the boxes.
Does it sound human?
With your nat 20, not necessarily human, but still humanoid. Sounds like something like with hands, like scratching at the side of a box.
And any verbalization?
You hear, it's very, very faint, but you hear, you're not sure if you actually hear it or if it's your ears, like, your confirmation bias, like, getting that there, but you're pretty sure you hear a muted kind of voice.
Ah, shit. I say, hold up, before we go to that house, they have someone or something in those crates.
All right. Is it someone or something that immediately needs our attention?
They're in a crate. That's I can tell you all that I know is that something or someone is in those crates.
How are the crates closed, Tyler?
A lot of them look to be kind of nailed shut at the top with some kind of larger nails. A few of them look to have rope tied around them.
The one that Jean, you're hearing the sounds from. Is that nailed or is that tied?
You're able to see from your vantage point that it's a slightly larger crate, and it was tied shut.
It was tied shut? Like, and so if does it look like if the rope came off, the box would open?
Probably.
John, which of the boxes is it?
I point to the one that's tied. I say that one right there, with the ropes on it.
I'd like to try and use Mage Hand to unravel the rope.
Okay, roll a sleight of hand check. Alright, so the Mage Hand kind of appears right next to the box and starts to pull on the rope, and it takes the better part of a minute, but eventually the rope kind of pops off the side of the box. The Mage Hand is able to undo it, and the box swings open and topples over, kind of away from you all. And the three miscallers all reach for their weapons, at least hand on their sword, and kind of walk over to the box. Are you guys doing anything, or are you guys watching it play?
Still watching, yeah.
As you kind of watch them walk over with their hands on their weapons, you see Zorander pull out his large broadsword and kind of walk over to whatever came out on the other side of the stack of crates and lift the broadsword over his head. You were supposed to stay in the crate, and he slams the broadsword down, slicing into the thing on the other side of the crates. You hear a loud shriek, and then silence.
Okay, that's not good.
What the fuck?
He also just one-shot whatever the fuck that was, so that's not good.
I mean,
it
might have been a commoner.
Kid.
Okay, if there's any chance of saving whatever this is, I would need to get there now to do Spear of the Dying on it.
Yeah, Ward's going, moving.
Yeah, assuming it's not like just completely cut in half. I don't know what this is. Yeah, I think we just go in, right?
Yeah.
Or do you guys want to go in and then maybe, you know, Lode and I stay in the back and then you guys show yourself?
I don't know if Lode would.
I think Var's just sort of reacting to a guy when he raised the sword. I think Var probably involuntarily even started moving in that direction. So whatever,
yeah.
He's kind of doing it.
Okay, cool. Then yeah, let's go do a thing. Then.
I don't know. Yeah, not planned thing, I guess.
Is there any chance that we'd be able to get like a surprise attack, Tyler?
I probably could.
Yeah, maybe Voir, because he was the first one to call out a reaction.
Yeah,
Voir's not attacking. But yeah.
Oh, sorry.
He doesn't know that what they attacked was not evil, right? He doesn't know anything about what they attacked. He doesn't know what they did was not a good thing. But he is moving in that direction because he wants to find out.
Okay, fair enough. I'll just follow Var's lead.
What I'll have you do is everybody roll initiative. We'll go through an initiative order without them in it. And if you guys provoke combat, then we can get into that. Otherwise, we can go from there. So Load popped up right, but Sean didn't. Get Tovar in there. And what's your initiative? Roll initiative.
Will do. I can't get roll 20 is being weird, so I'm just gonna use the secondary beyond 20 is being weird, so I'm just gonna use the secondary sheet in roll 20.
Okay.
Which should just work fine. Just gonna take a bit to load here. It's dark, right?
Yes.
Do you know why I took my second? It rolled twice for initiative.
I don't, but I will correct that.
Josh, it looks like you got a strength save to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was testing whether or not Roll 20's like native thing worked. This character sheet that I never made in Roll 20. Which I'm glad someone did, so.
Yeah,
all right, so.
Cool. 8.
Dope. That work?
Yep.
Yeah, it did. Nice.
All right, War. This actually canonically works out, as you were the first to react.
I guess War goes forward and he yells, "What are you doing? Like, what the hell? What is that?" And he goes up far enough until he can see what was in the box.
Okay, roll a perception check just to get a good look.
Okay.
On the other side of this crate, as you kind of walk closer, you can see kind of more and more of what looks to be a young tiefling boy.
Oh, goddammit.
Now bloodied across his chest with a large gash, he looks, for the time being, still alive, but gargling and near death.
Oh, that's right. He killed Tirith's family. Now it's all coming back to me.
you son of a bitch. You stupid son of a bitch. It's a boy. He yells back at the rest of the group. He's got a kid in here.
Oh, well, shit.
Was that your full action to do a perception check?
I think probably everything Var just did is probably...
Okay. I think that's fair. Yeah. We'll go through one round real quick. Just, like, within the span of the same 6 seconds, so hardly enough time to, like, process what just happened, what Var just said, just enough time to, like, maybe get yourself set up on finding out what happened. But for this first round, I don't think there's enough time to, like, have War go walk up, communicate what he sees to everybody else, everybody process it, and then get into place and attack. So for this first kind of round, let's use the initiative for everybody to go find where they need to, or where they want to line up and that sort of thing. So Tobar, are you good where you're at? Any actions that you take before combat?
I want to move up to this one, but I'm not able to actually move my character. It's kind of stuck. So.
Sorry.
Oh, there we go. Okay, there we go. That's where I want to go. That's about it.
And you do have Hunter's Mark on Zarander Rex. You're good to go there.
Yes. Is this a shadowy area where I'm at?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I want to use Hide then as well.
Okay. And then that's go ahead and roll a stealth check for the time being. I will note that. All right. For the time being, you're a little confident that you're pretty hidden. Jean, what are you doing?
So we're not going to be able to use like any spells or anything. This is just about more moving and setting up, correct?
Strictly positional. Like, unless you're casting a spell and yourself anticipated something happening.
It would have been a healing word on the boy. So I'll just move myself. I'll say right there, just trying to get closer.
Okay. Load.
I'm going to come charging in with walk dash here. Action.
Okay. Move yourself to where you want to end up, because everything is within your dash range. Okay.
I guess real fast on my turn, can... Nah, there wouldn't be enough time. All right.
Right here.
I'm gonna stay where John and Lode. I'm gonna stay net relatively where, close to where Lode is. But also, I'm gonna stay in the darkest part of the map. So it's like, where is?
I guess away from the torches.
Yeah. So these torches are canon. Yeah. Like the torches on the map are where the torches are in the battle. All right, cool.
And the shadows.
Yeah, are there any shadows that are like immediately near their bodies, I guess?
Maybe like right there behind the cart.
That's what I was thinking. Like somewhere within melee range of them is what I'm wondering.
They're pretty much out in the open. They're in the middle of like a market square. And none of the torch shadows are being cast out in that direction.
Shit. Yeah, all right. I'm just going to go up to where John Lode and Vore, this is where all of you guys are, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go up and seeing that Vore is looking at the boy, I'm going to say, all right, I'm ready. And that's it.
Okay. Let me roll initiative for everybody. And we'll get going.
I like that the card is getting all the initiative rolls. Happens to me all the time. Like the boat was getting initiative when we were doing the lake battle. Oh, roll 20. Damn, that's a high initiative.
All right. So, with that being said, seeing a group of people very angrily running over, Orinar is going to move up towards Lode, and he is going to attack. 18 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. I guess my damage didn't carry over properly, so that's 20 damage.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Take the second attack. 19 to hit.
That hits.
Uh, 23 damage. Now the turn of Vore, you're up.
Fireball, baby.
Can you light up where the kid is?
Yeah, the kid is here.
Kid is there. Is anyone or any of the other boxes tied up?
Roll a perception check. I won't count this as an action. You do see one other box that's tied up.
Cool. All right, Vore will move up, and he will cast Fear, and it should hit all three of them. A cone.
As a wisdom save?
And that is a wisdom save against the DC 15.
Prayer fails. Or you said 18? DC 18?
No, 15.
Okay, so Ornar passes, Zorander passes. Freya is now feared.
She has to take a dash action and move away from me every turn.
All right.
And she drops whatever she's holding, if she was holding anything. I guess her staff.
Yeah. That one. Sure. Cool. That brings us... any other actions you want to take on your turn? Or bonus action that day?
No, that would be it.
Okay.
That brings us to Zurander. Zurander, he's going to attack with his glaive and strike at Lode. That is an 11 to hit.
Doesn't hit.
All right. And he will attack one more time. That is 18 to hit.
That hits.
For 10 damage.
How you looking, Lode?
I've been better.
I'm sure you have.
And I think that'll be Zurander's turn. He kind of calls out, "You really don't know what you're messing with right now. You all should leave."
Yeah, okay.
He's not wrong.
I mean, yeah, 100% he's not wrong, but also, I mean, we literally have no choice. This is that's no human trafficking. Or tiefling
trafficking.
Tovar. Tovar is going to shoot Xander.
Okay.
Big money damage.
That's what we're hoping for. So first, I'm sorry. Yeah, longbow. First attack and second attack.
Double check. The second one hits.
Okay, so we're gonna add. Shoot, I forgot to take down note of that hunter's mark. I think it was like four or something.
I think it was six. Let me scroll up.
Okay. Initiative.
Yeah, it was
six, yeah.
Oh, it was four from the piercing and slashing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So plus four on that 11, so 15, and then bonus action, I will do that again.
Okay. That definitely hits.
And then another four on that one.
All right. You see the arrows sink pretty deep into Zurander, and he's not a fan of that.
Ty. Sneak attack on the first one, too.
Yep, I went ahead and added that in there.
Oh, cool. Sorry, still getting used to that one. And then is there a place somewhere around me that I can break line of sight?
The kind of... market stall right here, you could probably break line of sight.
I'll just hop on over there then.
Okay, and then go over and make a stealth check if you want to hide.
Cool. Stealth. 15.
Okay, you feel decent about your hiding ability.
Cool.
That brings us...
That's all I got.
John, you're on deck.
All right, I'm going to go into a rage.
We should just give you a macro.
Honestly, we probably should have put you in a rage before this, but that's okay.
Well, it would have gone away because I didn't attack anybody within my turn.
You're attacking now. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'm going to do that.
Okay.
And then, is this guy on the left here, is that...
That's...
Tyrannosaurus Rex here.
Ornar is right below you. Zurander's off the side.
Okay. I'm going to attack Zurander.
Okay.
Do you have an ability to gently nudge teammate to a safe range?
Do I have that ability?
Yeah.
Nothing Lode does is gentle.
He's going to knock you through
15, 20 feet away.
All right. So does a 23 hit?
23 does hit.
Cool. And then he's going to do an extra... Shit. Extra 9 radiant damage. Oh,
damn. Yeah, dude. Thanks.
And that was my first attack.
Oh, it's all right. You do a shitload of damage. Oh, I'm so relieved to remember this now.
And Steve, who are you hitting?
Zorander.
Zorander.
Okay, so we're all hitting Zorander. Okay, that's
a reaction. Zorander will use retreat and move 5 feet backwards, which does not trigger opportunity attacks through this reaction. He's all to use a legendary action and use Frightened Foe and let's see, it's one creature within 30 feet. Attack is load that you can see. So roll a DC 16 Wisdom Save Throw.
Before he does that, I'm gonna as my part of my first attack, I'm gonna have used Orcish Fury.
Okay.
So I'm gonna roll my Great Axe Rage Weapon attack. Add to the damage he takes.
Okay.
So an extra 14 damage.
And who?
Okay, now what am I rolling again?
Tyler, wisdom sorry. Saving throw.
You know.
Yeah.
How about a strength check?
You know what? You do you, Lo. I believe in you.
This you fear attack.
You got this, Steve.
Wait, are you immune to fear? Aren't you immune to frighten when you're raged?
I think so, yeah.
I think that's right. I could be wrong, but I think that's right.
Scroll up a little bit to the rage description.
That is very true. Maybe it's just like advantage or something.
I know it's true in World of Warcraft.
100% that's where I could be getting
this. I don't see that I'm immune
according to
it. But I do
think
have...
it doesn't appear to be the case. Like, according to the description of rage that was shared.
But I can use a fanatical focus reroll if I fail.
Correct.
So, my first saving throw.
Pass.
Ooh.
So you
is that going to pass?
You are not frightened.
Hell yeah,
fucking
dude.
A.
Hell to
the Lode isn't afraid of shit, dude.
No, man.
If you didn't have that reaction, you might have killed him with both of your attacks.
No.
Well, obviously not this guy, but I mean, like, any person with, like, a reasonable amount of hit points, yeah.
Just a normal dude.
Yeah.
You would have... That last little extra damage from Orc's Rage would have, like, done half of Var's health on its own.
Okay, I'm gonna pursue him a little bit. Okay. And since I'm not leaving this
game...
What was that, Tom?
There was no opportunity attack. You're good.
I was just confirming. And I'm going to use my second attack.
Light him up, dude. Fucking hit him.
Does 21
hell
hit?
Yes. Love load.
No, I don't get my cool stuff, though, after the fact.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. You see the go into... Zorander kind of right between the armor plating, and you see it find purchase in his side, and he starts to kind of bleed a bit. And you see just from the overall thrashing that he's gotten in this round that he's starting to kind of bleed from his mouth a little bit, and just starting to look a little damaged.
Okay. I didn't mean to click the Divine Fury. I was just reading the
thing. You're good. That would
hurt. And that's the end of my turn.
If you are done.
Am I up? Okay. I am going to I'm going to target this guy. What's his name? Or okay, him. I'm going to target him. And I'm going to cast Polymorph.
Okay.
He needs to make a wisdom saving throw.
How's that?
DC 15.
He has Polymorph. What are you changing him into?
Awesome. Oh, dude, I'm going to turn this bitch into a fish. Okay. A goddamn fish.
Next turn, I'm talking to the fish.
Yeah, Tobar will deal with him.
I'll deal with him in a second.
We'll book him a one-on-one session.
Alright, so he is now a fish.
I look at Zarander and I say, "You don't know who you're dealing with." And then I make like some really great like fish pun or something like that. Like,
come up with one right now.
Shit.
Looks like the scales just got turned, motherfucker.
There you go, dude. Yeah, dude. That's what I say. I say that shit. and then I use I fucking rocked it, and now War can get away. And then I'm gonna use a bonus action, level 2 spell. Healing word on the Loadster. That'll be 14 life back for Load.
You know, that's pretty great.
Tyler, can you ping where this this guy got cut? This kid? Oh, that's such bad positioning. I can't get over there. Alright, I guess I'm
bloodied.
I'm gonna go over here. I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm gonna hang there. And then that'll be my turn, and that didn't take my point for some reason. Try that again.
Yeah.
All right. Would you say when he used retreat that he stepped forward to the step backward? Would you say this area with the tent behind him? Would you say there are shadows there?
Underneath the tent, yes. But then you're in a market stall.
Sorry, what?
Underneath the tented area, yes, there are shadows, but you would be inside a market stall, and you wouldn't be able to, like, it's not just an open overhang, it's like a stall.
Like a tent.
Oh, shit. Alright. I guess I'm gonna step forward and attack the... Oh, you're a fish! That's right, I'm just gonna kill this fish guy.
No.
No, I'm not going to kill the fish guy. He's not. Do that. He's okay. Fine. You're going to make a shooting fish in a barrel pun. I know that. I'm going to get around to the other side of Rex then, because he's. I'm not going to worry about the opportunity attack I'll get from the fish running by.
You're lucky that Mike wasn't here. He would be yelling at you right now.
All right. Time to attack Zarander Rex.
Okay. Go for it.
Fuck yeah. Alright. Unarmed strike is not on my thing. Can I just roll a d20?
Just do roll 1d20. Slash roll 1d20.
Cool.
And then you can add your plus whatever it is to attack.
Well, the first one doesn't hit. Wait, I have advantage, because flanking, right?
You do, yes.
Alright. So 16, so does a 23 hit?
23 hits, yes.
Oh, cool, alright.
Hell yeah.
Then I'll roll a d6 for damage. So this plus 4. 3, so 7. And then for the second attack... they're both 17s. All right, so 24. So yeah, that.
Yep.
All right, cool. And then one, sweet. So 5. So 7 and 5 damage to Mr. Rex. And then I'm gonna use my bonus action to spend a key point on unarmored defense. Or on patient defense. I think that's what it's called.
Your...
Yeah, I've got it somewhere in here, but you know what it is. It's the dodge action,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah, and then I'm going to say to Rex, I'm going to say, you're in the wrong place, and this is definitely the wrong time for you. I don't know if he's going to get that pun. It has something to do with, like, you know, it being dark out.
All right, that brings us to Caprea's turn. Caprea currently...
For the record, Lode also didn't understand. Sorry, Tyler.
You're currently frightened of, I believe Roar was the
did terrified.
Frightened. Who frightened Caprea? I forget.
Me.
Okay, just making sure. She will not make any steps closer. She will actually start to run back a little bit. And she will.
She actually has to make the dash action.
Oh, that's right. So she's going to move.
Get her out of here.
She's actually going to move this way. Start running back towards the tavern. All right, that will be Caprea's turn. On initiative 20. Before these other guys go, get back to my notes. The night sky seemingly gets darker. It's really about 10:30 at night, and it's already fairly dark, but now it gets even darker, like unnaturally darker. Roll a perception check, everyone.
Oof.
Nat 1 gets you a 9? Holy shit.
That's what I'm like, no doubt.
Rhaefer, is this you?
John and Noir, you see coming out of the cottage on the other side of this marketplace, Basil Oud. He starts to run towards the kind of center-ish area of this marketplace and sees the ensuing chaos between the lot of you fighting and looks up, looks down at his arcane focus and conjures a portal. And instead of stepping through this portal, you see four almost identical figures step out of the portal. All of them looking exactly the same as Basil Oud.
Uh-oh. Is Athriel with us? Is she helping us here?
Athriel is still up by Tobar at this point. Like, up until this point, she's had no reason to join in the battle. She has no tie to any of this. So she's just kind of, like, watching from a distance.
Would you say that she does now that she sees five Basil Ouds?
She has not come across Basil Ouds, so she doesn't know what that she saw five Basil Ouds come out. And you see the out of the portal, one of these Basil Ouds looks a bit older. Essentially the same age as the man that you've met in Duskwall. And he steps forward. He's cloaked in a pristine black robe with gold trim and kind of sleeves that cover one of his hands, and in the other hand he carries a staff with a large glowing orb encased in silver strands at the top. You recognize kind of the energy that this orb gives off, the core of transference, the orb that you retrieve from the Paywell. He looks out at you. Oh, pardon the interruption. Carry on.
Your petty squabbling has served as a wonderful cover for this evening. I will admit, though, it does seem like you've come a long way from Duskwall. No matter. You are far too late anyway. And they will join the initiative order.
Too late for what?
Yo, this guy sucks.
Dude, Bethel straight up sucks.
Yo, I'm feeling real dumb that I used my level 3 spell already, guys.
Dude, I'm so excited for my fucking turn.
Dude, if you have any like strong options, this isn't like an episode of Dragon Ball Z where you wait for like the finale. Let's get this over with, like, fast. Oh my goodness. I am frightened right now. Of course, I'm always frightened by these things.
All right. Let me readjust the order. We are back to Ornar's turn. Ornar, as a fish, he's just kind of hanging out. Let me double check.
Load, eat it!
I moved towards the fish.
Okay.
I was hungry anyway.
Load would explode from the inside or some shit if I lose concentration.
It's to Vuar's turn, because there's no real save for Polymorph.
Yeah.
How did what's his face? How did Rex react when Basil showed up? Was he surprised?
Rex is surprised. He stops paying attention to you and turns and looks towards the mages. And as you see him turn, you actually see his lip is no longer bleeding and a bit of his side has started to heal back up.
Vuar uses as a free action. Friends of yours?
No. I thought they were part of your group.
They're not. You want to help us kill them?
No. They definitely are part of our group. Yes. They are definitely part of us.
Tovar's yelling.
Yeah, I know them. Hey, guys.
No, I don't know them.
What's up, Joey? That's Larry, Jerry, Harry, Gary, and Mary.
The mage is entirely, completely back to you all.
Say that again, Tyler.
Zorander completely turns and faces the mages with his back to you all now.
Yeah, I think we have a common enemy.
I can shoot him.
Yeah, Vuar is... I'm not sure... So here's the role play. So here's what Vuar was going to do before these guys show up. He was going to grab the fish, jump on his broom, and head up into the sky, yelling at John to be ready.
I mean, you can still do that.
And that's what. And now I'm like, I think Vuar now knows that these guys are the bigger threat, and that there's a common enemy here. But he also he's got real strong feelings about slavery and people being kidnapped, and so I don't know. He's I don't know what he. I honestly can't figure out what he would do. Whether he would continue to attack the slavers, or if he would do the more methodical. What do you guys think?
I personally think, knowing how Vuar deals with money, I think it would be more on the methodical side. Like, you probably wouldn't be less angry. Like, I think Vuar would be like, okay, this is definitely what's most beneficial right now, is to fight with this
person.
Keep
in mind, this is his one big trigger, though.
Right? Yeah, no.
Even then, I feel like Vuar still...
would see that we have one person running away, one person that's a fish, and a dude that we have on the ropes, or so we think. And then we have four dudes that just walked in that are threatening us, that are like clearly a part of this like initiative order and want to fight. I think the numbers alone would be clear for Vuar, but I could...
And I think Vuar, being very opportunistic, would have the opinion of, I'll just kill him when all this is done.
Hi, Kitty.
Like, after he's worn down in the fight, I'll just wait till like, you're battered and bruised after helping us beat these mages, and then I'll fucking fireball your insides or something. Yeah, like that's what I.
We got him. We polymorphed him once. We could do it again. All right, you guys have convinced me. Okay, Vlar yells at Rex. Truce till they're dead.
Sounds good to me.
Predator handshake.
It breaks Ward's arm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Dijon, what does that. Truce mean?
I say hit the guys in robes.
Vlar will cast fireball on the five conveniently placed enemies.
Okay.
Fourth level fireball.
Okay, I will roll. Apparently they didn't. Oh, okay, they did line up with their character sheet. Cool.
Fucking wreck them. They're in robe.
Dex saves?
Yep, DC 15 dex saves.
Let me pull up. There are five separately named characters, so I have to pull up all of your character sheets individually.
Mary, Larry.
They actually are Mary, Larry, Gary.
I was thinking Spectre, Vector, Hector, like, I don't know, Rector.
Be like my family, you could all have initials that spell their names. Kim, Jim, Tom, Dom, Cam.
That's so awful, Tom.
So the first one saves.
Pretty cool.
Sure.
That one does not. That one does not. That one.
Oh my god, this is gonna be the highest damage attack we've ever seen in our party.
Come on, baby.
Come on, baby.
Yes, answer me.
Oh,
yeah. Oh.
Dude, that's so much damage in one turn.
157 damage.
Holy Christ.
Burn, baby, burn.
Oh, no, you did more than that, because there's one guy plus six dudes, right?
Oh, I only did it twice.
Oh, alright, never mind. But yeah, still, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the highest damage attack.
Yeah, that's 175 damage, so yeah, absolutely.
Yep. We've ever seen 157
because the one guy succeeded, I think.
Yeah, one guy did. Oh, okay. The first one.
Fair enough.
That's the most damage anyone's ever done in a D&D thing with this group, right? Like, I'm pretty
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. To date.
Unless someone else has passed Fireball.
Yeah.
So, as you cast Fireball, it lands right in front of all of them and explodes outward. And despite one of them passing the save, all of them appear to be damaged equally, but not as much as you expect.
Ah, nuts.
Anything else you want to do your turn?
Can you use Fireball as a bonus action?
I believe you can. I have checked the rules. I'm sure of it.
No,
only I guess at higher levels.
That's right.
I think Vlar will. I think he'll activate the broom, but that would be it.
Okay.
I think he can probably do that. Yeah.
Cool. That brings us to this mage's turn. So this one, I have to make sure I'm on the right character sheet because I didn't name them correctly. Oh. Alright. That one is going to move forward a little bit. Let me do some measuring. Yeah, that's good. And cast Cone of Cold.
Oh no.
Everyone in this group, because I'm dragging things all around. Rifeer, Lode, Zorander, and the Fishman. And not four. Roll a Constitution saving throw.
Excellent. Goddamn boy. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
What a person who doesn't need to roll a fucking nat 20 in this situation.
Well, he's been taking hits. He's taking some hits.
Oh, I wonder if Lode is going to make it through this cone of cold.
Oh, no.
Dude, these guys, let me pull up a fish. I think it's probably like minus two.
Yeah, I think it's probably...
Don't you just want to break concentration?
Like... Yep, that fish is no longer a fish. You see Orinar kind of pops back up as the half-goliath that he is. Back to where he was, and looks very confused. For those that passed, let me do some damage.
I yell at the fish, and I say, "Fishman, we have a new common enemy," and I point.
Probably calling him the fishman. All right. After you turned him into the fish.
Look here, you guppy bitch. Oh my god, that's so much damage.
Everyone takes half of that, so 20 damage.
So except for the fish, right?
Except for the fish.
Sorry, fishy. Oh no, what about that boy?
I don't think you were...
Burn, baby, burn.
God damn. What about the other boxes?
They don't look great.
Oh, God.
They look pretty snow black right now.
This is ending.
I mean, it is winter.
They bring. This brings us to Zorander's turn. Zorander, having taken a bit of damage, not too happy about that, will run after the mage and swing with his giant glaive. 21 definitely hits.
Yeah, that guy's a bitch.
Fuck him up, Zorander!
for 14 damage, max damage on his...
Really?
Does Lo take an opportunity attack?
No.
Seriously?
I'm kidding.
He would want to, but I don't think he would want to, right?
I don't think he would. I think we called the truce. I think he gets it.
Does Zorander have two attacks?
Zorander!
Because if so...
That's going to be a 22 to hit, which also hits. For 5 damage. You see the mages are starting to kind of look a little... as Zorander swings in with his glaive and like jabs the mage, all of the mages react in the same manner. As Zorander hits... on the side, you see all of the mages instinctively clutch their side, but the damage done by the glaive to one individual doesn't seem to hurt as much as it should. It seems to kind of disperse amongst the group.
Huh.
Okay. That is a thing.
That brings us to this mage, which will also run up and go to about here. There. And cast Cone of Cold again. Coming out hot.
Okay.
Yep.
Sort of the opposite.
So, I was going to say, do they all share spell slots, but...
They do not. They are all individuals.
That is a problem.
Constitution saves from us?
Yeah, it will be Constitution saves. This one's going to be a little bit more straight directed, so that'll be Jean, Lode, and Rifier. And Orinar.
Wait, Jean, Lode, and Rifier?
Jean, Lode, Rifier, and Orinar.
Vaughn will cast a third level counterspell as a reaction.
Okay, it is a fifth level spell.
Alright, then he would have to roll...
What's he roll again? Yeah, he rolls a...
It's like 1d...
I make the ability check. 10 plus the spell level.
Yeah.
Alright, so I gotta beat a 15.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll fucking do, my man.
So that cone of cold goes quiet. It does not take off. Which brings us to Tobar. Tobar, you...
Oh my goodness.
The battlefield kind of looks a little rough. Lode's looking decently hurt. Zorander's not looking tip-top shape.
The third missile ran away. It is gone.
Like I'm Harvey Weinstein.
Oh my god. Is that like a concentration spell? Can you drop that and like get her in here?
It is a concentration spell. Yeah, it is a concentration spell.
Okay. I'm just throwing it out there. You do what you want, but
yeah, I didn't think about that.
After dashing twice, she's far enough out of earshot that she wouldn't have been able to turn around quickly and get to you. So she might come back in at some point.
Yeah, if she's out of my line of sight, she also gets to make a wisdom saving.
Yeah.
What if she's just gone? What if you just deleted her?
That doesn't happen. We almost had a fish situation. Nemo was about to get caught.
If we needed her gone, like now we need her back. But if we needed her gone, that would have been awesome.
It's great when it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Tobar, what are you doing?
So, Tyler, yeah. I am going to be shooting this guy right here. And I'm going to do both my action and my bonus action as a shot to him. So that's going to be 4 altogether.
Okay. Go for it.
Longbow. 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right.
No hunter's mark on any of these, but sneak attack will be on the first one.
Cool. As you see, the arrow goes into one. All 5 of them kind of react in synchronicity. They all kind of flinch in the same way. They all get hit by the same arrows, seemingly, by the way their body convulses and moves back and forth. This really, really impacted them. It really hurt. But it seems to impact them as a whole. So they do still seem to be standing up. They do seem a lot weaker. And Basil, the older one, visibly older one, kind of looks over at you. You're new.
And then I want to escape back over to here, and that's when I was going to do my stealth check.
Cool.
I was just preempting everything for you. So.
Like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jean?
Pretty much just breaking my sight.
Okay. First, I'm going to cough a little, and then I am going to use one of my daily spells from my Cleelier called Wall of Fire.
Okay.
And I'm going to create a 20-foot wall. I was going to try to make a box, but I don't know if you guys can see it. I feel like I can see it. But
I can see it, yes.
Okay, you can see it. I was just kind of making a box. That's my wall of fire there. And then everything there basically needs to make a DC 15 dex save. No, sorry. I was trying to get the thing to paste up there, but I can't
save. It's at the top of the box. So one fails.
There's the information if you want that.
Two passes. Three fails. So two fail and a pass. And is it? It's half damage.
They take half as much damage
And are not pushed.
And are not pushed.
Okay. So these get pushed.
And then any creature that ends its turn within 10 feet of the wall takes another 5d8.
Okay. That brings them down to pretty low levels. And as they kind of get hit this way, Zorander is going to use another legendary action. And let me pull it up. He is going to use a magic burst missile, which is equivalent to casting magic missile at 5th level, and hit all of the mages once, just kind of a large plethora of missiles. And that brings the mages down almost to
death. You see that the mages, a couple of them start to like get down on a knee to kind of brace themselves. Several of them breathing heavily, even though they're fairly cloaked, and you see bits and pieces of the face that make up the same face as Basil Oud. You see that some of them are looking beat up and bloodied, and they're looking very rough. And as they kind of look this way and look towards you, let me cue something up. You see black smoke begins to pour out of the cloaks and surround each of the mages. You see this smoke starts to kind of act as almost an armor around them. It kind of like surrounds them and obscures their vision or of their visage. And that brings us to Lode's turn.
Oh, I'm going to use my Bardic Inspiration, and I'm going to say Lode in this. And that'll be my Bardic Inspiration that I cast on him, so you have a D8 that you can add to your attack rolls if you need.
I'm going to move to this guy.
Okay.
Perfect.
And I'm still raging. And I'm going to... My first attack, I'm going to... Well, that's... Nope. What?
No, that's the damage, buddy.
Yeah, it's all right.
Does
22 hit?
With quite a bit of damage, they are looking very rough. The axe slams into this shadowy armor, and it kind of almost passes through. You come out the other side, and you're pretty sure you made purchase. You hear all five of the mages scream in unison as they scream out in pain, but it didn't feel like there was as much of a corporeal form as there was for everybody.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, they take an extra 5 radiant damage from my Divine Fury.
Okay, cool.
And then I'm going to... Oh, go ahead.
Second attack?
Yes. Second verse, same as the other one.
Oh no, dude! Run the DA, just see.
Oh, yeah,
because you never
I'm
know.
Use it.
Because if you get a 16, does that hit?
It does hit.
Oh my god! It was a nat 1. That's crazy.
18 slashing looks damage. Looks like
you
with
last swing. You swing through this shadowy cloak and. The blade passes through, and all of the mages still scream in horror as they're definitely feeling it.
Hell yeah. That's the end of my turn.
Okay, that brings us to Rifeer.
That was super cool, dude.
Would you consider this area that I'm pinging on the map shadowed?
Yes.
Even with flames there?
Well, it'd basically be on fire, so there'd be a ton of shadows.
Yeah. Also, it would be really hot there, right here. I just want to
probably
let you know that.
Get some damage from a fireball. 5d8 worth of damage.
Never.
Because you're within 10 feet.
Never mind.
Yeah, within 10 feet of the wall is hot.
So right here in this line is not within 10 feet, right?
You're good, yeah.
All right. I'm just going to run right up to this guy and attack this dude that I've got in the sandwich.
Okay.
With advantage.
With advantage. So I'll take the 19, so I assume 26 hits. Yeah. Nice. Sick.
6-3
plus 4, so 7. And then this again, second attack on this guy. So 15, so 22 to hit. Nice 2, so 4, so 6. So he took 7 and 6, so 13 damage. And then bonus action, I'm going to use Flurry of Blows.
Okay.
Seven, so does a 14 hit?
14 just misses.
All right. Second attack from Flurry. 9, so 16 to 16.
15 hits.
All right, so then the second of those two will wind up hitting, and 1, so 4, 5, so I did 18 damage to him with my feet, just running up and kicking him.
Yeah.
And then that's... Like, oh, sorry, what?
As your feet make contact with the shadowy cloak, they seem to pass kind of through. There's some resistance, but it's almost like punching just an empty cloak. You don't feel a corporeal form that you make contact with. But all of the mages still scream out in horror as they're definitely taking damage from this. There just wasn't a corporeal form there.
Coolio. All right. That is my turn.
All right. That brings us to 3 mages' turns. And then the top of the round. And all 3 of them are going to move in closer. And that will be their turns. And at the top of the round, the black smoke...
So Taylor, it's at the end of their turns that each one of them is going to... That's when they take the damage.
Okay.
Unless they're not done with their turn. Sorry, did I misunderstand?
They are done with their turn, so I'll mark their damage.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is it? 5d8?
Times 4.
So 20... Oh, sorry. You go, okay.
3. That's a lot of damage. Holy shit.
A lot of damage.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me mark those.
I'm coming for Fuar's number.
Guys, let me tell you about attacking at range.
We're over here with our gigantic fire spells.
We're doing some fire damage tonight.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude.
So as they get singed from this firewall,
motherfuckers get burned.
Yeah. Did you eat a nugget?
No, my bad. 1 second. I am.
Josh, you got nuggets?
So you're not sharing, Josh?
I always got nugs.
I always got nugs in my pocket.
We broke Josh.
That was the back end of a sandwich. It was the round part of the bread that looks like a chicken nugget.
It did.
So you got chicken nuggets.
So, no. As these mages kind of group together, you see the smoke around them start to build up and completely cover them. And the 5 mages kind of end up in this ball of black smoke fog. And within a few seconds of this smoke ball, the ball drops and the mages are gone with a low level of black fog still kind of in this circular area where they group together. In the center of this circle that the mages had formed together, the smoke almost begins to pile on top of itself, building higher and higher until it's a rough humanoid shape, roughly about 7 feet tall. The smoke begins to form a long, weathered black cloak. And despite a hood shrouding much of his face, you see a long, scraggly gray beard and beady steel gray eyes. Long, bony fingers extend from a very skeletal-looking hand, and the smoke continues to form his presence roughly about a foot off the ground. So he's floating about 8 feet all in all from ground to top of head. As it finishes, he gently glides forward on air without touching the ground and stops just a few feet away from the party. And all of you are within range. You can see this figure's face. It's gaunt. It's bony skeletal. It's frankly quite ugly.
And as he glides forward, you hear, without his mouth moving, he speaks, you hear a voice in your head.
Ah, so this is the ragtag group of scoundrels that released Acedra. You might not realize it yet, but I should thank you for all you have done for me. Look at the heralds you released.
And he kind of gestures to where the mages were standing.
That freed me from my imprisonment. Look upon the army you had created for me. For all of your heroism, all of the death you have caused, I have gained power. And when you fall, I shall add your corpses to my legion. Despite your best efforts, you're fighting against fate itself. My ascension is coming, and order will finally return to this plane. You can choose to join me, and I will make sure your death is swift and painless. If you do not, well, I will ensure you know there are many fates worse than death.
And this figure teleports out of sight, leaving
counterspell.
He will counterspell your counterspell.
Do you think he meant fish? Fate worse than death.
And as he teleports out, you see surrounding you a number of other creatures teleporting in, kind of apparating around you. You see figures that have long teeth that look almost dog-sized, but on two legs, on basically hind legs, that run around now, kind of as soon as they apparate in, they start running around in small circles, excited, ready to pounce. And you see this large, hulking mass of a figure, humanoid in shape, with long, long arms that have been turned into spikes at the end of it. You see at the end of one of these spikes, what looks like it was originally part of this humanoid figure's arm is now just impaled at the base of this spike. You see it lumbers with a hunchback in its gray ash skin, kind of peels over the side, and it lets out a horrible screech. And that's over tonight's session.
That's pretty good, yeah. That was a really good screech, dude. That was really scary.